Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you on this very cold, very chilly Monday morning, at least if you are in the Pennsylvania area. I know we are hopping on a few minutes late today. My apologies for that. Daycare drop-offs sometimes are harder than other days, and today was one of those harder days, and sometimes when we come into the studio, our cameras were used on Sunday for church, so then we got to reset everything really quickly, and it makes it a little bit more challenging, but better late than never, I guess, right? But it's good to be with you today. Thank you so much for joining me on Good Morning Live as we open up the Word of God together, find out how it can transform our lives, change us, mold us, and man, come on. You're watching today. You're doing a great job starting off your week with the Word of God. So you can't get much better than that. Well, if you've missed us last week, you may not know we've been walking through the book of James. And I've been loving this series because, I've read through the book of James before, but this time just in a different light. My wife, Sarah, and I she's been joking. That, after 40, she's just telling people, right? Like her filter leaves. Even yesterday, we were in the McDonald's parking lot and our local one, the line was a little full. So you kind of have to drive around the building to get back into the line. And these cars were trying to come in from the entrance and cut in front of everybody who had already been waiting in line. And, I'm just a little bit different. I'm just like, just whatever, just let them go. And she's like signaling to the guy, like, go around. And I just laughed. And she said, listen, after 40, the filter goes, you're going to know how I feel. And it is what it is. And I say that to say is I feel like that's where James must have been over 40 when he wrote this book, because James calls us to adult, get to it, just do it, live it out. Do what God's called you to do, and really doesn't hold back a lot. So we spent all last week going through the book of James, and we're still there. So we're going to be in it again this week. I do want to remind you, thank you for watching on all of our platforms today, X, TikTok, Instagram, Rumble, I forget them all, Facebook, YouTube, all of those places, and of course, around the world on the Pioneer Channel. So thank you so much for hopping on with us today. It's a great honor that you're here. So without further ado, let's hop into the Word of God today. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to tackle the theme that hits every one of us, right? Are we just hearing God's Word, or are we actually doing God's Word? There's a very big difference in hearing God's Word and doing God's Word. Actually, as I was driving in this morning, the radio station was on Air One, and they were talking about, don't leave at church yesterday what you got at church. So they were encouraging their viewers to go to their Facebook and kind of just give a one-liner quote that you remember that you pull. And they were talking about how it's so easy to leave church. And when you leave church, you just leave what you heard. Right. And it's like, well, if that's what we're doing, then we might as well just not even go. Right. Because the purpose is that we would be trained and equipped and grow and develop and take out of the building what we heard in the building. Right. So that's what James is really pushing at here in this next section of scripture that we're diving into. Are we just hearing the Word of God? Are we reading scripture and letting it go in one ear and out the other? Are we, listening to podcasts and listening to preaching and listening to Good Morning Live and tuning into the Pioneer Network and doing all of those things, but just hearing and never actually doing, right? Like, Sarah has been challenging me, man, you got to make better decisions in your eating. And what's one of those things? It's like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I've heard it and I've heard it and I've heard it. But hearing it and actually doing it are two completely different things. And sometimes we can know a lot of the Bible, but don't always see that same level of transformation in our daily life, right? And if that's ever been you, then I believe this teaching today matters, right? because we can't have hearer-only Christianity. So I want to open with a picture that will kind of frame, if you will, our time together. But history tells us about a man named Jesse James. Jesse James, and most people know him as this a notorious outlaw from about 150 years ago. He was a robber and a murderer and a gang leader. But here's what many people don't realize. He was a pastor's kid. He was a baptized church member. Jesse James sang in the church choir. There are even reports that at some point in his life, he taught Sunday school. And one biographer wrote that Jesse James fully expected to go to heaven when he died. Why? Well, because in his own words, he believed that he had lived the best life he could under the circumstances, and therefore was entitled to salvation. Now, we hear that and think, well, wait a second, that doesn't line up, all right? How can someone live like that, a robber, a murderer, and still think that they're spiritually fine? Well, here's how. It's possible to be around the Bible. Hang with me for a minute. It's possible to be in the church and hear sermons and still be a hearer of the word, or only a hearer of the word, and never a doer of the word. And that's exactly what James, not Jesse James, but James, the brother of Jesus, is confronting in this next passage of scripture. And we're going to find this today in James chapter 1, sorry, James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1. For me, it is always hard to find the book of James because it's like two, at the most, three pages. I know where it is, but it's hard to get there. But James 1, and we'll begin in verse 22. I'm going to read this slowly. If you have a Bible, follow along. If not, just let these words sink into you. But here's what it says. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So here's the big idea from this. Here's our big idea for this teaching. Real faith doesn't just listen to the Bible. Real faith, not just everybody claiming faith, but real faith lives the Bible out. James is going to show us five areas where we must be a doer of the word and show up to, right? Number one, submission. Wholehearted submission. What does that mean? Do whatever it says. You know, our dear Catholic brothers and sisters, you know, I always find it interesting. I was listening to a teaching as it's getting around Christmas time. And they're talking about Mother Mary and just kind of what the Bible does say about Mary and what doesn't say about Mary. And they were talking about how our dear Catholic brothers and sisters, you know, there's some parts of that religion that would teach that Mary remained a virgin all of her life, Virgin Mary. Like, that's why they would still call her Virgin Mary. That, you know, she never had relations with Joseph. And We know that to be wrong because several times in scripture, it talks about Jesus's siblings, right? And actually, there's a verse of scripture that says Mary remained a virgin until Jesus was born. Well, it didn't say all of her life. She said until. And of course, we're reading from the book of James, which was a brother of Jesus, right? And so they've added some things in there about Mary and what she says and what she doesn't say and, you know, all of that stuff. That's not what we're teaching today. But I always think when I think about this, I think about Mary because one thing that Mary did say in scripture was at the wedding of Cana, Jesus's first miracle, and she begs him, like, son, please do something. These people need a miracle. They need help. They need a breakthrough. And so Jesus tells the guys, you know, go get the pots of water. And here's what Mary does say. Whatever he says, just do it. We thought Nike coined the frame, right? The phrase. But no, Mary did. Whatever he says, just do it. That's submission. Just do whatever he says. Whatever the word says, just do it. How do we do that? We study, we look deeply into what the word of God says. We look at our speech and let the word control what we say. We love like the scripture says that we should love. And we bring separation. We stop what it says to stop doing. People, sometimes I said this the other day, but you know, if you watch on TikTok, sometimes people from all of these different lifestyles kind of twisting scripture to make it say something that they want it to say so that it will affirm a lifestyle that they want to live. And that's where I say I have to give it to the atheist, if you will. They just say, you know what? We don't want it. We don't believe it. And that's not how we want to live. All right. You know, and that's where I think Jesus said, listen, I'd rather you be hot or cold, this lukewarm. Like, don't try to twist the scripture and making it say something that it doesn't say. Because when you read the Bible, if it says stop doing it, stop doing it. And I'm not saying we're all perfect and we don't sin and we don't make mistakes and we don't fall and there are areas of struggle that we got to work through. But what we have to do is never take the book and say, well, the book is wrong because this is how I feel. We say how I feel is wrong because at the end, the book is always right. Every word, the book is always right. So what do? We look deeply into what it says. We let it control our speech. We speak like it says. We love like it says. We do what it says, right? We let it control, if you will. And some people who maybe have a control issue is going to struggle with this a little bit, but we let it control our lives, right? So maybe where in your life this morning have you said, you know, I've maybe not intentionally, like you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to twist the word and I'm going to make it see and make it tell me, you know, what I want to do and how I want to feel. Like maybe we don't think that way. But we do it when we read in this book how we are to live and we actively choose a different way. So we're going to look at each of those things just real quickly today. But submission, do whatever it says. I want you to look at verse 22 again. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James is talking to believers here. He calls them my brethren earlier in the chapter. So we know they're believers. And this is not a teaching on how to become a Christian. Like this isn't, you know, we acknowledge that he's God, that we're a sinner, and we need to save. This isn't that. This is about after you've become a Christian, how to live as a Christian. Why? When you first come to Christ, the message is believe. Believe that Jesus did it all. Believe the gospel. But once you are saved, now the call is, are you ready for this? Not to believe, but to obey. To the sinner, the call is come. Believe, find refuge. But now that we have come and we have believed and we found refuge, now the call is to obey, or in other words, to walk out what it is that you heard. And James says, listen, if we only hear but never obey, who are we deceiving? God? No. Hey, good morning, Nate. Good to see you. Thanks for commenting. Hey, if you're watching, go ahead and comment it in. Right, like there's a scripture that says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You will sow what you reap. Right, like James says, if we hear only but never obey, we only deceive ourselves. We're not deceiving God. We're not deceiving anybody else. We're deceiving ourselves. Good morning, Tanisha. Good to see you on. So think about this, how this works in every area of our life. If a police officer pulls you over and says, hey, the speed limit is posted, next time, do what it says, right? Like the doctor writes a prescription with very clear instructions. If you want to get healthy, do what it says, right? If you buy a new appliance, right? The manual tells you how to use it, how to put it together. Like, you know, some, you always hear that analogy that guys, you know, hate instructions and, you know, not me. If it comes with a manual, I'm following it step by step by step. Why? I just figure they know what they're doing. I'll get this thing done quicker if I just follow the instructions, right? But if you want it to work properly, do what it says. Follow the instruction. If a teacher gives you a syllabus that explains how to pass the class, if you want to pass, do what it says. Like in my life, in my world, I got a 10-year-old right now. And we've outlined, right? Like we've got 5 kids now. So it's like everybody's got to pull their own weight a little bit. So we have outlined in our house a chore chart. It's a digital board and that everybody has their chores that they have to do every day. And when they're done, they go and you hit the button and it puts a little check mark and lets them know that they did it. And it's from everything to letting the dog out, to brushing their teeth, to making their bed. And we sat them down and we said, listen, these are things I'm not going to remind you. I'm not going to tell you about. It's here, it's clear, it's written. It's written. And if at the end of the week, all of these things are done, you get your allowance, right? Like there's payment at the end, right? And so my 10-year-old man, he's struggling. So yesterday he came up to me after church and was like, hey, Dad, I didn't get my allowance. And I said, hey, son, you didn't get your chores done. And on Saturday, I bent the rules a little bit and I said, hey, you forgot one thing on there. Just want to let you know you got to the end of the day. I'm not going to remind you again. And his excuse after church was like, I forgot. Sorry. Maybe you're thinking, oh, man, he's so mean. But listen, I'm trying to teach my kids that, listen, there are certain sets of rules. If you want the reward, follow the instruction. If you want to live a successful Christian life, you want God, you know, working in everything that you do, follow the instruction. You want to see breakthrough, you want to claim the promises, follow the instructions. Whatever he says, just do it, right? So this book, God's word, is infinitely higher above everything else that we just said. A doctor's report, a teacher's syllabus. It's God's revelation of himself. It's life-changing. It's inerrant. It's timeless. It's powerful. And James is saying, if you're wise, you will do what it says. Now, James gives us an illustration to drive this point home a little more. He uses this mirror illustration in verse 23. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So what is he saying? The Bible is like a mirror. It doesn't flatter you. It doesn't edit you. Don't you wish your mirror was like your iPhone and had just like a filter on it that, hey, whenever you just looked in the mirror, it like filtered, touch up, you know, smooth everything out, whatever. The mirrors don't do that. Mirrors aren't Instagram pics. Mirrors aren't social media posts. Mirrors aren't filters. Mirrors are a reflection of a reality that's there. It doesn't flatter you. It doesn't edit you. It shows you reality, that you, what you are in God's sight. So picture this. You wake up in the morning, stumble into the bathroom, look into the mirror, and the mirror says, your hair is all over the place, right? There's something in your teeth. You need to wash your face. Now imagine you stare into that mirror, see everything that needs to change, and walk away and do nothing. James says that's exactly what it's like to listen to a sermon, to read a passage, have the Holy Spirit convict you, and then just move on with your day like nothing happened. That's why I would say, you know, we live in such an age. We've got podcasts and scriptures and Good Morning Lives and Pioneer Networks and all of this stuff bringing us teaching, teaching, teaching. And it's good. That was a mandate that God said to us, bring as much teaching from this house as you possibly can. But one of the negatives of that is I would rather people listen to less teaching, but really lean into what you're hearing. Sit down as you're hearing the teaching with a pen and a notepad and take notes. Actually, science tells us that what you take notes on and what you write, you retain, right? Like really lean in and take notes and listen and make like an application response to what you heard and how you can apply it. Like I would rather you really deep dive into your church's Sunday morning sermon all week long. That's why we've been taking it on Mondays and emailing it out to our people and posting it on our website as a blog, because I said, man, I'm doing all this work to bring this teaching and I want to make sure we're not just hearing and walking away. But so what I'm saying is sometimes another podcast and another teaching and another sermon is not what we need. We need to dive into and retain and study. That's why I tell people when you're reading the Bible, it's a thing, yeah, to go through scripture and read it cover to cover. There's power in that, right? But if you're trying to read the Bible, it's not a marathon race. Like, hey, I read 6 chapters today. Look at me. I would rather you take one passage of scripture, write it on a note card, read it all day long, meditate on it. The Bible says to meditate on his word. Consider it, memorize it, and know that passage of scripture. How can I walk this out? What does it mean for me? Versus, I read 6 chapters. I don't quite remember anything that I read or how it applies to me. You follow what I'm saying today? Because the problem for many of us isn't knowledge. The problem is obedience. We don't need another deep word. We don't need another revelation. We don't need another prophecy released over our life. Why? Because we haven't obeyed the last 6. We haven't adjusted ourselves to follow God in the last 6 things that he said to us. But what do? We run to prophet, conference to conference, looking for the next word, looking for the next inspiration. But God's not trying to give us another word when we're not walking out the simple word we already have. Like, let me just say this. You may not need another prophecy about the direction of your life and what God wants to do in your future if you're not walking out your attitude problem and fixing that the Bible talks about. If you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, let's start there. And I'm not discounting prophecy in any way. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I think we have a generation of people who are so infatuated with the supernatural and the mysterious and the moving of the Spirit. And I am too. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But what we have done is we have desired the external gifts without ever paying attention to the internal gifts, love, joy, peace, patience. Like sometimes the greatest prophetic word you can receive is love your neighbor as yourself. You've got a love problem. Long suffering. Here's a prophecy for you. You're in a hard season of life. Your word isn't about how God's going to turn this around and give you the empire. Your word is today is suffer long. Suffer long. And be kind in the process of it. I knew you didn't know you were getting a prophetic word this morning and you may be changing the channel, right? Like, no, I don't want that one. And listen, hear my heart. I am not discounting prophecy and I'm not discounting any of that. I desire that. We want that. The Bible says to desire prophecy. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is those are great bonuses, if you will, when we've got a right foundation. But when we want the bonuses, but not the foundation, right? Like we want the frosting, but not the, you know, the cake. And I mean, that's probably all sweet, so maybe it's not the best analogy. But you understand what I'm saying? Is whatever, when God wants to give you a word, receive it, run with it, do it. But never neglect, am I memorizing scripture? Am I dealing with the inner fruit of the Spirit as much as I'm desiring the outer fruit of the Spirit? Does my hidden life reflect my public life? Are you with me today? Let me ask you a question that you can apply today. What is the last thing God clearly told you to do that you still haven't done? And let me just pause here, because you might say, well, I've never heard him, you know, speak audibly. And that may be true. Like, you know, maybe you haven't heard an audible, but the last time you heard a sermon, or you heard a teaching, or, and there was that conviction that, you know, I think I'm supposed to forgive someone, or I kind of feel like God wants me to lay that habit down, or, you know, I felt like I was to take that step of faith, but it just was too scary. Or, you know, I felt like I was supposed to set some boundaries in that relationship, and, you know, it was just an uncomfortable conversation, and I just don't want to do it. Or was there a secret sin that God wanted you to deal with that you just can't, or decided you couldn't walk away from? Be a doer of the word starts right there. It starts right there. Tanisha says, can't skip the process. Go back to the basics. Absolutely, Tanisha. I love that, because, again, if I'm putting together a shelf and I'm halfway through and the whole thing's leaning and it's falling apart and it's not working, you know, the best thing I can do is not to keep pushing ahead, because I know I've missed something somewhere in the process. The best thing I can do is stop, go back to the instruction manual, and say, I missed something here, and go through step by step. Did I do this wrong? Did I put that in backwards? So what I'm saying is, look at your life. If there's areas of your life that you feel like are out of control or spiraling, or you just can't get victory over, don't just keep moving forward and say, well, it is what it is. I guess the Bible don't work. I guess this, No, stop and go back and say, Lord, where in my life am I missing it? Where have I not applied your word? Where have I not leaned in enough? Because the problem isn't with God and that his word doesn't work. His word always works. His word will always build a life on a solid foundation. His word will always develop character and strength in us. His word will always lead us into a successful life. So if it's not working, it's not on the side of God. We know God's word surpasses economies. It's not because the economy, and it's not because, you know, well, you know, they didn't give you the right opportunity. That God, we know God's word's not limited to people. So if it's not working, go back and to the instruction manual and say, where did I miss it? So really quickly, I got to move through these today. So we look deeply into what it says. Submission asked, will I obey? Study asks, do I even understand what I am obeying? Do I understand what I'm obeying? Listen, that's a part of being a doer of the word. Don't just do it because your pastor said to do it. Get into the word of God, study it out, figure out what the word of God is saying. Know why you're obeying. Why verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That word there that he says, looks into it, is powerful. It doesn't mean a quick glance. It means to stoop down and look carefully, to examine, to investigate, to search deeply. Picture someone leaning over a document, if you will, studying the fine print, every line. That's how James describes the way we should approach scripture. Not a skimmed verse on my phone today, and then I'm good. But leaning in, asking questions, I'm listening as a response to reading this for God's voice, right? So we lean in. We lean in. So James is calling us to active listening, active listening. And I'm just going through some of my notes here. So verse 22 to 27, I want you to read it slowly. And if you can, even this week, how do we practically look into the word? And even after this teaching, you know, the book of James is such a small book. I think it's what, 5 chapters. I've been challenging, you know, this past week, anyone who's on with us, spend the next few weeks reading the book of James over and over and over and looking into it and diving into it and reading it slowly and reading it again and taking notes and highlighting and, you know, circling back to it. Read it slowly. Write one takeaway. Ask, what is the clear instruction here? Write it down and pray it in. Say, Holy Spirit, help me obey this. He didn't just give us his word. He gave us his spirit. Holy Spirit, help me obey, and then act on it. Just don't admire it. We post it everywhere, but none of that matters if we don't apply it, right? Well, we are about out of the time today. We got to keep to a time limit because of Pioneer Network, but we'll pick up right here where we left off tomorrow. So thank you so much for being on with me today. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for being with us today. I thank you for confirming your word, Lord, that as we dive into not just reading scripture, but application of scripture, that Lord, you would give us that spirit, that desires, that hungers to read and to know, and not just to see it on a page, but apply it to our lives, that we would be able to walk it out. Lord, give us a hunger again for your word. Let it build and mold us and transform us. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. Now, remember, if you're watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all that you can do. It helps us get this, you know, all the algorithms and to send this out to more and more people who need to know the word of God is real, it works, and it's powerful. Well, I'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on Good Morning Live. Thank you so much for being on with me today. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.